If you have an influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will have both of you roll off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that simple, understand?
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Hey, girl.
See, hi, I'm Jim. He's Clarkson. We're the Film Thugs. But what I was saying with Sons of Anarchy, I'm having a hard time watching it because I have absolutely no sympathy for any characters at all. They're all...
At this point, at least, what, three bodies to every character?
Roughly, yeah. And I just don't care. And it's really dark. Like the first dialogue scene in the new season takes place after you watch a guy get brutally raped in prison.
Huh.
Yeah. And then it's basically the guy from the former Justice Department guy walking like, so how you doing? Yeah, I'm having one of those mornings too. Because it's like the guy killed his sister. And he's like, every morning, they're going to come and visit you. And it's one where, had it been done off screen, it's one thing. But the fact that the thing starts with this guy balled up and this huge black guy just, it was just too much, too dark, too much.
Wow.
And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, the episode ends with an 11-year-old kid going into a school with a machine gun and opening fire. Yeah. And the next episode, I'm supposed to give a fuck because that gun can be traced back to the Sons who supply everyone in the area. It's like, okay, fuck you. Yes, you guys should get nailed on this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's really hard for me to care.
It's hard to do.
It's difficult to remain in the show.
The first season, I knew things were going to have to get a lot worse considering there two people had sex with a corpse in the room.
Yeah.
Not with the corpse.
But just with it in the room.
With it in the room.
Yeah.
I remember my reaction being something like this, and you'll love this in Audio Land.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
He just pleasured himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, this is the show for me.
Hear me!
So I pulled a couple of articles that I think need to be mentioned because they just baffle me.
Okay.
A high school student was forced to remove his Duck Dynasty shirt because it was deemed threatening. And the shirt said, I will hurt you physically and metaphysically. And it was deemed threatening.
From Cy Robertson, yes.
Yes, he was forced to remove it because kids felt threatened by it.
What kind of children are we raising?
I have a better answer for that with the other article I've got. Because, I guess I just teach at a school where if that's a problem, holy shit, you guys don't have any issues at this school.
Things are good.
At all. Wow. Okay, former NFL star Brian Holloway. He was out of town, and like apparently hundreds, like 200 or 300 teenagers fucking just bum rushed his house and had a party there and trashed it.
Wow.
And here's the headline. Ex-NFL star Brian Holloway may be sued by parents of teens who allegedly trashed his upstate New York house because he found photos that were posted online by these kids and posted them on his website saying, here's these kids and here's their names. And their parents are talking about suing. He held a thing where he said, come and help clean up my house.
Right.
One parent showed up. And more parents are talking about suing him. And here's the shit where it's like there's $20,000. Okay, this is what'll get you. He offered the parents a chance to make amends for the estimated $20,000 in damage, including smashed windows and glass doors, urinated carpets, holes in the ceiling, as well as a stolen eagle statue that was part of a memorial to his stillborn grandson. And parents are suing over this. And look, here, see, there's kids partying and having fun at his place. Mm-hmm. Here's a kid climbing across his kitchen at his place. This you can't really see, and people listening can't see it all because it's just totally vandalized, like this bar in his house.
Wow.
Yeah, and the parents are suing. You want to know what kind of kids we're raising? That. And those are the fucking animals that are raising them.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That gets all of them.
Barbaric. Yeah. Barbaric. Barbaric. Hear me. Barbaric. 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 Hear me. Barbaric. 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 Barbaric.
Barbaric. From hill to hill.
Barbaric.
And from mountain to mountain.
Hear me.
From valley to valley.
Across this great land.
Broad land.
Broad land.
Barbaric.
Across this broad land.
It's just flourish at the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now.
Had you been
involved in that and your parents found out through seeing your picture on a website at this house party, would they think I'm going to sue him or, oh, wow, we're going to go to jail for beating our son to death?
Funny story.
Yes.
When my brother turned 18, yes. You could still drink at 18 legally.
Mm-hmm.
My dad got kegs.
Okay.
For him and the party.
Right.
During this party, me and a couple of other people that will remain unnamed.
Yeah.
Snuck a couple of beers.
Oh.
At 8.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And then we made our way across this broad land, or the yard area,
yeah.
And to this trailer.
Yeah.
Abandoned trailer full of junk and abandoned mess.
Right. Oh, boy.
Took some crowbars and started breaking stuff that was already broken. Okay, but we did break a couple of windows were already kind of fucked up. Anyway.
Right.
This is a trashed, abandoned trailer.
Uh-huh.
Okay, trashed, abandoned trailer. It was going to be... recently was taken off the property that the guy who owns that property and the trailer and burned. So
how old were you when this happened?
8.
Okay.
This place was trashed. It had been abandoned for at least 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Owned by this, can't say his name, but the guy that owned it. Whatever. Okay. I and my friends broke trash.
Uh-huh.
But it was somebody else's trash.
Right.
And for that, my parents called the police on me and my friends. And then when we were properly pissing our pants,
uh-huh.
Then I got in trouble and got a whooping.
Wow.
A considerable thrashing for beating on someone's broken trash
because
it wasn't mine to break,
mm-hmm.
You see.
And that is a very good point.
He kept making. It's not yours to break.
So you didn't steal something from a tribute to a stillborn baby?
No.
No?
I did not.
You didn't urinate on carpet? You didn't destroy tile floors by dragging kegs across
them? My point is, I still feel like shit for doing that.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. That's a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah.
That is fucking crazy.
It is. This
I'm pointing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The fact that parents are like, you put our children's pictures. And he's like, I fucking.
Your kids put their fucking.
Yeah. The pictures are out there. And basically what everyone who's commenting is saying is like, well, if they're minors, I believe the parents are responsible for the damages. So go ahead and sue me and countersue all of them.
Yeah.
And you know what? You'll probably get a judge who's like, all right, you asked for, okay, they did $20,000 worth of damage. You're going to get $20,000 from all of them.
Yeah, bring that in front of a judge.
Yeah.
Please.
Because a judge will just be, oh, really? Wait, so these were pictures that were already out on social networking sites? Yes, they were. Okay. And kids were firing off tweets like, anybody looking for something to do tonight, hit me up. Shit's going to go, shit's getting crazy. Where they're just inviting people to this party. I am stunned. Like when I was a kid, there was a house at the end of our street that was abandoned, not abandoned. It was a rental property that was open, and like the door was left unlocked at one point.
Right,
and we like snuck in for about 3 minutes, and I
just
still
walk around.
Feel like, oh my god, I'm terrible. Yeah. And so it's, you know, people like Rick Roden and Kid Swank, Chris Warren, Maddie Kennedy. Their names as published in a
news.
Hey, they're in a news article.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's going to be on us. How dare we?
Also, let that word resound.
Also, am I the only one who's noticing that this new Pope fella is kind of okay? We need to stop obsessing on homosexuality and abortion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just sort of a, hey, everyone.
Hey, man.
Stop being an asshole.
At this point. For the longest time in the 20th century, the whole no salvation outside the church thing was right. A hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, we got to keep the fucking golden doors open, people.
Yeah, yeah.
How about some outreach?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the stricter among them, yes. I'm sure, are just pulling their fucking hair out.
Yep.
But too bad.
But they're also strict enough to know, well.
That's right. Yeah.
He's the Pope. Fuck. That's the catch-22. The only people who'd be pissed off by it are the people who can't do a damn thing.
The traditionalists must. Yeah. I'd say hang themselves, but they know where that gets you.
Yeah, that's no kinds of good. That just doesn't work.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for anyone.
No.
So no. I've been listening to more of this stinking pause.
Yes.
And,
as have I.
I got to say, I like them.
I like them.
As what I told you before we started recording, it reminds us of a less profanity-laden version of the early days of this show.
And they sound smarter because they're British.
Yeah. Yeah. By default.
Yeah. That's how it works. Here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. Here in the States, it's people like, oh, God, you know, is that Adele? Thank you, Gosby. Like, she must know something.
He's a genius.
Fucking Jackie Tyler. It's like, she must be the queen.
Chef Lord of Chefafrey.
I won't do it, Doctor. No.
Don't open that door. You'll doom us all.
I'll open that door and then I'll read it.
That's how she sounds to me.
Your face when you do the Jackie Tyler voice makes me happy. That's all I can say.
But thanks very much for your kind words, guys.
Yes,
and
yes.
I really enjoyed your last shows,
I
particularly the breakdown of the Big Chill's characters.
That's the one I just listened to. Nice. I haven't seen it, but I just like the fact that somebody's sitting there going, these people are all kind
these
of
awful.
Awful.
Yeah. You have good stuff.
Awful friends who say stupid. She says stupid. This statement on Charlie from High Fidelity. She says just awful things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she does.
Talk shit all the time.
Shit all the time.
Yeah.
Well, this show, I think we're actually going to hit the fucking topic earlier because it's one that we can actually talk about.
I bet, yeah.
Stand-up comedians who become actors. And I actually have an article from The Onion here that's an interesting thing where it's when comedians walk off, it's the crowd that's to blame.
Ah.
And it talks about Dave Chappelle doing a show on my birthday on August 29th mm-hmm. where somebody said, I just watched Dave Chappelle quit stand-up.
Oh.
Maybe it was the gratuitous use of the N-word by a mostly white audience. Maybe it was the overpriced beer that, to my amazement, everyone seemed to keep buying. Whatever it was, there was a palpable change. And he went on stage, people were yelling lines at him and all this stuff. And he said, you know, I've been up here a while now and I thought it was me, but now I'm sure it's you. There's something definitely wrong with you, and left. And she talks in here about like why Steve Martin stopped doing stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he got to a point where he would go on stage and it would literally be people yelling catchphrases at him.
Yeah.
From the audience. And he couldn't get a routine. He couldn't get a rhythm. And it's like, here he is trying to get a rhythm going on stage, and people are yelling, I'm Rick James, bitch!
Right.
Like, nobody wants to fucking hear that. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I saw David Cross. He's up on stage doing stuff, and people are yelling out shit from Mr. Show, and he's like, okay, you don't want me to talk? I'll just sit here and listen to you yell shit that I said 4 years ago at me.
Right.
Chris Rock was on the Stern Show once, and people were calling in and doing his routine on the phone to him. And he's like, yeah, great. I know, I wrote the jokes. But with this, I'm willing to bet that it was a bunch of drunk white boys who were like, he's here and I'm just going to yell the N-word a bunch at him because like that's sort of what it seems like.
Spooky.
I don't know.
That has to be weird, especially for someone like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Who got real big real fast.
Yeah.
Particularly back then, where things were not as narrow cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Niche. There wasn't anything called alt comedy,
uh-huh.
which I'm not trying to pigeonhole David Cross.
No,
I mean,
no.
Other people have said
that. Yeah,
yeah. Had Steve Martin's career been later, he would have been the same.
Right, right.
But he just happened to strike a big chord with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was fucking massive.
Oh, and it was massive and really out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was because he was a totally different thing.
Yes.
He was silly. He was weird. He had a bunch of
yeah.
odd stuff going on. And, I mean, he went from, like, this was a guy who was playing arenas.
Yeah.
And for first off, for a comedian to hit that level, like, Richard Pryor played what, like, did he? I think the biggest Pryor ever got was Madison Square Garden.
I think so.
Which is big, but it's not, you know, there are comedians that play bigger arenas than that. I mean, actually, Madison Square Garden is about as big as it can fucking get. Yeah. But, you know, Steve Martin was that level.
Yeah.
He was that just massive of going to these. And could you imagine paying money to go see a comedian and literally looking at him on stage as he's like, okay, well, I can't talk, so go ahead.
Just. No, I can't.
Just yell all this shit at me. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, because that's what... Why would you pay money to go see a comedian just so you could yell, hey, remember when you... Excuse me!
Wild and crazy guy!
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. That has to be rough. I've heard Rogan talk about the difference of playing a club versus a hall or a bigger theater.
Yeah.
That's just theater.
Uh-huh.
Talking into the darkness as opposed to talking to someone's eyes.
Right. Uh-huh.
And how much you can get lost and everything's kind of changed.
Uh-huh.
It's a different act because the rhythm is different.
Yeah, Rogan interacted with me when I saw him do stand-up. I'd cut my finger, and I had a bad cut.
Yeah.
I had stitches on it, and I had this, like, bandage. And he's up on stage, and he's talking about, like, how he did a blog where he just stopped masturbating for, like, a month. And he's like, it got weird really quick. And he's like, you know, if I don't masturbate, you know, like, once a week. And I went, really? I didn't even think. And he goes... I know, like, five times a day reel is... this guy's like, dude, right. I've got a bandage on my hand. I'm still hitting it five times a day. So, five times a day, realistically, once a week. But the fact that he was able to play that moment...
That's how you can do that.
It wasn't me heckling. It was literally just me going, what?
Yeah. He's like, well, you can do that in a club, but it's not, you know, that general interaction between the people that are right fucking in front of you. Because you're talking among them.
Yeah, he also yelled at a woman and threw her out.
Well, that's good.
Because she wouldn't stop talking, but... You can't. How can you do that in a theater?
You can't. Because it's not one person in a club.
Yeah.
It's eight of them, and then they're fucking relatives scattered amongst the stars.
Yeah. And then take that a step further
in the dark.
Yeah. Take that a step further to the Frank Irwin Center, where I'm performing in, you know, I went from 200 to 2,000 to 12,000.
Yeah.
Whoa. Shit.
Yeah, it's spooky.
You can't, I mean, and that's what amazes me is like Dane Cook's done a couple of those and the, you know, the audience has interacted at some points, but how they're able to quiet that at all.
I don't know. I know that nowadays for certain comics like Rogan and Death Squad guys, because their audience is kind of ready made through the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the different fans of the different comics within that open group.
Yeah.
You can kind of rely on the fact that if they do an Ice House show, the same, not the same people, but the same kind of people are going to be there. And they're not going to be assholes, generally.
Yeah, right.
Some might get drunk and whatever. Mm-hmm. But in general, they're going to be pretty laid back, half fucking stoned or more, and be cool as the other side of your pillow.
Exactly.
Whereas these bigger clubs where whatever, people just kind of show, not clubs, but theaters.
Right.
Fuck knows.
No, exactly.
And back in the day, it was catch as catch can because you're the comic now, Steve Martin. There isn't cable. There isn't the internet. There isn't anything to go narrow.
Yeah.
You're dance, monkey.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And there's just a different level of connection because then, you know, you're screaming because you want to be like, oh, my God, I heard, you know, he heard me yell this at him. Whereas now it's like I sent a tweet to, you know, I got a response to a tweet by, you know, Casper Van Dien or by the guys from Riff Tracks.
Right.
And it's just, there's an ability there. So it's not that same anonymity that people feel so desperate. Like, he has to acknowledge my presence. No, he doesn't, stupid.
You mean like Ron Perlman?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like Ron Perlman.
Who follows us.
Who's following us now. Like Ron Perlman.
Normally I find that kind of behavior douchey.
Yeah.
Until Ron Perlman follows you.
I know.
And then
you're
I don't care.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This is fucking awesome. Especially since I defended him and I got threatened. Yeah.
Opie.
Yeah. For those who don't know, somebody posted on Ron Perlman's Twitter, like, you're a good actor. Too bad you're so ugly. And I replied on it. I was like,
and he may have been fucking around too.
Yeah, I was like, did you just insult Ron Perlman, motherfucker? We will kick your ass back in time.
And we were referencing his Nerdist interview when Ron Perlman said motherfucker. Like he invented it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. He said it very Swearingen-esque in that, just owning it.
No, he invented cocksucker.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean that Swearingen-esque, like, I own this now.
So,
and this guy replied, try it, asshole. What? Like,
what? We're on Twitter.
Yeah, what? Come on, man.
Are you from Jersey? People realize I can't beat your ass on Twitter any more than I can put a record on when I tell Zach Wilde it's my favorite?
Yeah.
When I'm in the back of a club, put it on. I can't do that.
You know what? You know what I hated about it is it turned me into Carlos Mencia. Take a joke.
Yeah, that's bad.
Fucking guy. Now I'm going to make fun of handicapped people. Because that's the thing. That's evidently okay. So, but yeah, like, well, let's look at it. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
He got so big as people don't realize that, like, just because you see a stand-up comedian on Letterman or something like that doesn't mean that they are big. They are not set.
No.
You know, there was a comedian that I saw on Letterman, and then I saw him at the Cold Town Theater.
Yeah.
You know where the Cold Town Theater is?
I do.
Yeah. It's literally the theater part itself is about the size of the room we podcast in.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if you, like, seriously, if we cut it off here and it was just the kitchen, that's exactly what it is. That is exact. And that happens.
It.
I mean, until you hit a certain point, you are, okay, where am I touring? What am I doing now? How am I, oh my God, where am I going to be next?
And it ain't just clubs. It's restaurants and bars.
Yep.
Gordo's Public House has a stand-up set. I think they have open mics now or something.
And
I'm not sure.
Open mic stand-up is the worst thing ever. It's so fucking terrible because, I did an open mic night once where there was these fucking assholes that were there to see a friend of theirs. And they were literally sitting there having a conversation like this the entire time that the first, like, three comedians went up.
Right.
And they were just literally talking, but they were drunk. And it was like, oh my God, no, it's so funny because you're talking about doing that. And I almost went, I almost started my thing out. A fat meth head and a hooker go into a bar to watch stand-up comedy, but they don't shut the fuck up and listen. Oh! because I didn't want there to be a fight. I wasn't scared, because...
Right.
I'd grab her by the ankles and beat him into submission with her as a cudgel.
Yeah.
As a...
Because meth don't give you powers.
As a gonorrhea-soaked cudgel.
Oh.
I'm just telling you what I saw. I'm just telling you what I saw.
The dreaded Ghana cudgel.
Cudgeria. Didn't you go to
the
school
worst.
With her?
I did. On the border.
But Steve Martin was weird because he was a marriage of things because it was different. But then he hit with Saturday Night Live. But he was never a cast member. He was just featured. And exploded in, like, locked into all of these zeitgeisty things, like with King Tut and all that shit. And just,
it's things you didn't think were going to be funny were funny with Steve Martin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he goes on stage with a fucking Groucho Marx, bunny ears, an arrow through his head, and a Groucho Marx nose on, and plays the banjo.
Yeah.
Poorly.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no. Even back at the time, he was one of the best banjo players around. But he just dicked around, like, blick, 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 yeah. And then out of nowhere, you go, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, bum, 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 just wail through it. How weird is it that the audience kind of chased him away from stand-up? If people had gone to those places and sat there and listened, he might still be doing stand-up today.
Maybe.
But
why?
Yeah, why?
At this point.
Exactly. Well, yeah, at this point, but I mean, you wouldn't,
no,
I don't think
he
would have given it up had that not been
more
the
case. At least gone a little bit further.
Yeah. And that's what sucks with it.
That's okay with me because I loved his movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Until he started doing the weird family broad comedy stuff.
Not my thing. Yeah. But I got why I did it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, hell yeah.
Of course. But, yeah. You know, The Jerk, mm-hmm. Roxanne.
Oh, God.
Even his serious, not serious turn, because he could play serious quite often mm-hmm. and well. Spanish Prisoner.
Oh, Spanish Prisoner is just fantastic. Yeah.
How quickly he can turn.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because he's good.
It's what somebody said about Jim Carrey doing sort of dramatic in The Truman Show, I think it was. Mm. Where it was like, when somebody's really good at one thing, a lot of times they're really good at a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're very rarely is somebody's ability that narrow cast. That,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I do this, but I can also do this and this and this. I mean, check that shit out. I'm multi-layered,
but
like pie.
And I find myself hard-pressed to pick between The Jerk and Roxanne. I lean towards The Jerk just because it's so goddamn funny.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
I remember going through, like, back in the day, I wish we still had video stores that existed, but broke stuff up by star. Because I remember going in and just going through all of Steve Martin shit. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The only one that they didn't have that I didn't watch, that I couldn't watch because they didn't have was The Man with Two Brains.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm behind on that one. But, you know, the fucking Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, I didn't get it when I was a kid. And now holy shit. They made him, they just cut him into existing footage.
Yes.
This is amazing. But honestly, I look at it, him giving up stand-up is worth it. If for no other reason than the Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That was one of those things that I remember going to see. It's one of those movies that you remember seeing the like when it's brand new and have no idea that it's going to become this thing.
Yeah.
You know, like Big Trouble in Little China or, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh, I remember seeing that shit opening night and being like, that was okay.
Well,
I'm all right with that.
That was fucking stars in my eyes.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. But for me, I was like, fine. Fine. And now, holy shit. Wow.
I don't think anyone can appreciate just how much of a staple of American pop culture that thing is.
I know.
Until you appreciate it in Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my wife and I have been there twice since we've been married, mm-hmm. and it's been around Christmas both times.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the Haunted Mansion into Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nice.
Haunted Mansion.
Very nice.
All the inside has changed to that. All the merch, the little booths outside within the ride itself.
Right.
It's just fucking everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And every little stand or whatever has at least 10 items.
Yeah.
Before you get to the big store in Downtown Disney. It has. It's fucking a block big, you know, a block size, massive fucking.
Just
buy this shit. Yeah.
Buy my book.
It's spooky.
It's weird though, because that's one of those movies, like, you know, Three Amigos and stuff like that, are touchstones for people our age. Like, if you met somebody our age who's like, "Yeah, I never saw Three Amigos," like,
yeah, that's weird.
That's odd. I've never seen Nightmare Before Christmas. It's not like there's judgment, but it's like,
really? Oh,
that's really strange. It's more of a. How the fuck did you grow up in America and didn't see that? That's you know, how you've never seen a baseball game?
Yeah.
Huh?
I haven't seen a baseball game. Live. I don't even watch baseball.
Yeah. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But again, that's there. And Steve Martin is one of those people who's just become ubiquitous. I mean, think about it. Everybody fucking knows who Steve Martin is.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. You know, and he's weird. Do you know where he was born?
Waco.
Waco, Texas, Benson,
Lexus. Boy loves
Lexus.
A working man, don't trust Whitey.
The Jerk still, goddamn. I like Roxanne, but Roxanne is a movie Steve Martin's in. The Jerk is a Steve Martin movie.
Correct. Although there's a lot of, because he wrote it,
yeah.
A lot of connection when I was a kid to Roxanne.
Right, right.
To where it was, you have to realize where you are. It was kind of cool to be smart.
Uh-huh.
The Cyrano thing,
of course. Yeah.
A remake of Cyrano or a retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac. Mm-hmm. So that appealed to me.
Yeah.
In a place where you were, at least it felt, pigeonholed into a certain realm of things.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And a lot of them books ain't exactly what we have in mind for you, boy.
Yeah.
Not my parents, by the way.
Oh, no. Yeah.
at large.
I mean, how you were prevented from playing basketball.
Right. So that appealed to me, even though I'm never going to get to that level, of course.
Right.
But it showed that, oh, yeah, you can be Spartan. That's good, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yep.
Funny enough. It seems stupid, but it meant a lot to me when I was a kid.
Well, yeah. We came from a... It's weird. I've noticed that the kids who were born in the mid-70s grew up in a time where there was like this odd stigma against being really smart. It's like, oh, if you're smart, you can't be cool. Granted, there was a lot of stuff that didn't line up with that, but it's a real, I don't know.
Yeah, it may sound like I'm not making any sense, especially for people younger than us, that being smart was always part of being cool and part of being attractive or part of being just fitting in.
Uh-huh.
Where in those days, they were very split up.
Right.
I imagine they are to a certain degree still, but not in those days it was, and in my small little town, it was much, the cleavages between those groups were a lot more apparent. So
cleavage. That's yeah. Awesome. So. But yeah. And it's sort of vanished a lot over the years. But, yeah, when we were kids, it was such a huge thing, this just stigma of, well, you know, he's smart, but he can't be athletic, or, oh, he's this, but he can't be that. Like,
and how well-rounded CB was in Roxanne.
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't knock you out, and he wasn't the best looking, but he could climb the entire house.
Yeah.
He could talk a kid off the roof.
Yes.
He could cook.
Yeah.
He could write. It was all of those things where he wasn't just one thing.
Yeah.
That was very attractive to me. Uh-huh. And I still love that movie, even though it's very kind of, how cute.
Yeah, it is.
But there are parts that are so great.
But it's well written. Yeah. It's heartfelt. It's not stupid. I mean, it's great. But like, then you step back and look at The Jerk, and it's silly, fun, all of that.
Oh,
but it's like, madness. I see all, like, just for type of humor,
yeah,
that is the Steve Martin humor, because he doesn't do Steve Martin humor that much anymore.
No,
the closest you get to it is when he goes off on weird shit on the Oscars, where it's like, here's something that you all can relate to. I was talking the other day to Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman about where to buy $600 sunglasses. And I told him about this great place. And I said, you should have the guy who drives your kids to school pick you up some pairs of $600 sunglasses on the way home. And they said, well, we drive our kids to school. And I said, what? It wasn't, of course, Tom Cruise, but he was just that. And I was like, that is the Steve Martin absurdism. And it's beautiful. Nobody does absurd the way Steve Martin did.
No, that's his own particular flavor.
Exactly. And it worked so beautifully.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one where I'd love to see what kind of stand-up he'd be doing today.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. I remember Robin Williams coming back for that last stand-up special.
I didn't watch it because I heard a lot of people who went off on how great it was. But here's my problem with what's his name?
Robin Williams.
I liked him when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, I've looked back at a bunch of his stuff, and I'm like, wow, that is cocaine-fueled comedy for people on drugs and kids.
Well, he was so, obviously, so improvisational.
Yeah.
The fact that he could keep it going without an
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty
impressive. It's amazing, yeah, yeah. Now, I loved Robin Williams when I was
younger.
Oh, me
too, of course. But did.
It sort of hit a point where I was like, oh, okay.
Because you realize you can take your foot off that pedal, and there were other things to look at.
Exactly,
but when you're a kid, you kind of...
Yeah, you're like, oh, my God, wow, this guy's everything.
Thing ever. Yeah.
Fucking Mork, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All that crazy-ass stand-up that he did back in the day when we first got cable.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that was a big fucking deal.
Yeah. Did you watch the comeback to stand-up?
I did.
How was it?
Well, I need to rewatch it because I was in a pretty bad headspace at the time.
Okay.
But I remember thinking,
I
don't know. But again, that's not giving him a fair shake.
Exactly.
That was you were a shitty headspace.
You were in a bad place, man.
So I'm sure it's okay.
Yeah.
But that question was answered for me. What happens if one of these great old master shows back up on stage?
Yep.
That happens.
Dude, you know who I would love to see, who I've said for ages, what the best career movie could make would be to work stand-up up again, is Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Delirious and Raw are two of the goddamn funniest things I've ever seen. Those are, I just remember when I was a little kid, my parents, you know, would rent Delirious and watch it, and I'd sneak it, and it was one of those things where I'd see a little bit and then see a little, and then my parents were like, oh, fuck it, just, let's not pretend that we're shocked when he hears bad language.
Right.
Let's just not do that, okay? It's fucking fantastic. I mean, the why'd you eat the ice cream off the floor?
those were huge. Then they came out on, I think it was Showtime?
Uh-huh.
Showtime or HBO.
He's watching all the time.
Oh, my God. Looking over my shoulder, looking around the corner where my parents were. It was so, so fucking
funny. Do-do-do-do. G.I. Joe is swimming underwater. and then a big brown shark came. And I'm bleeding out of my head. My brother's all... I love that the brother is fucking Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
And I played you the bit of Eddie doing his Charlie Murphy impression. And it's fucking... like, wow. I get that you forget. Eddie was a brilliant impressionist.
Yeah.
And some of the sharpest comedy. And apparently his whole career was sort of accidental almost. Because he got on Saturday Night Live, which is one of the hardest auditions in the world from what I hear. Because have you heard about what the audition is?
Oh, yeah. Lorne. And he never laughs.
Yeah. You are by yourself on the main stage doing your thing. And nobody, you have no reaction to it.
Unless you're Jimmy Fallon doing Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Then,
and you get a smirk.
Then you get a, nice.
That's pretty good.
It's okay with that. Get that fixed.
I'm supposed to have that fixed.
But yeah, the beautiful thing with it is, Eddie was on as the black guy on Saturday Night Live. And there was a time when being the black guy on Saturday Night Live meant you got paid to do nothing. except for shake hands with the host at the end of the fucking show. Because Saturday Night Live is written by a bunch of white Harvard guys who don't know much. It's gotten better over the years. It's gotten much better.
Boy loves a working man, don't trust Whitey.
Exactly. Yeah. Eddie was on a show once where something was there and something went wrong. And they ended up with like 4 minutes at the end of the show to kill. And they said, Eddie, go out and do your audition. And essentially it was some bit where it was like some guy trying to get two other guys to fight. And he did it and it killed. And a lot of people don't know this. I read the book on it, so I know. Eddie was so big and so vital to Saturday Night Live, they used to record all of his bits at the beginning of the season at times. They record bits. And when they would go live, the audience was watching them on monitors.
Nice.
So that they could keep Eddie on the show while he went and did movies.
Ah.
And then he got huge with that.
Yeah.
And said, no, stand up. Fuck that. I can sell out Madison Square Garden 5 times a year.
Sure.
Minimum. But fuck that. That's too hard. I'm not doing that shit anymore. I'd rather sit and eat cheese in my trailer while I'm waiting for them to call me out to act in a movie.
And holy shit, what an actor he was.
I know.
And it's not just, oh, it's Eddie Murphy doing Eddie Murphy.
Because he started out doing that a little bit with Beverly Hills Cop and stuff, but not totally. But just not totally. Touch.
I mean, even in Beverly Hills Cop 2, which has its issues.
Well, it's not 3.
I kind of blank out.
Yeah, so do I.
But even that, which is a slicker
version
of one, really.
Yeah.
He's still shining through.
Yeah, he was an actor. Yeah. I mean, because there were the serious parts, and you believe he's a guy who knows this shit.
Yeah, Trading Places.
Right on. Yeah, oh, God.
Training.
Beef jacket time.
Beef jacket time.
God damn.
Bacon, like you would find in a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
The way he looked at the camera might be the single best breaking the fourth wall without a word of dialogue.
Just good.
Coming to America.
Oh.
God damn.
Yeah, I met Dr. Martin Luther King in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm walking down the street, minding my own business, just walking off, feeling good. I walk around the corner, man woke up, hit me in my chest, right? I fall on the ground, right? And I look up at Dr. Martin Luther King. I said, Dr. King. He said, oops, I thought you were somebody else. Man, you lying. You ain't never met Martin Luther the King. Knocked the wind out of me. Yes, he did. No, it didn't. Yes, he did. No, he did not.
That's it. We go, fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you. Who's next?
That ain't nothing but ultra perm. And his best acting in that. This is beautiful.
Oh, this is beautiful.
What is that, velvet? What is
velvet?
That he embodied it and went
Rocky
with
Marciana,
it.
Rocky Marciana. Rocky Marciana. Every time I talk about boxing, white boy got to pull Rocky Marciana at his ass.
He beat Joe Louis's ass.
He did Joe Louis's ass.
You know how old Joe Louis was at the time? Ask him once. Ask, how old are you, Joe?
Frank said, I tell you, he's 137 years old. Joe Louis is 137 years old. and he never met no Frank Sinatra.
Oh, man.
Oh, God damn it. I saw that in the theater with my friend Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw Harlem Nights later on.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I laughed myself sick.
Oh, yeah. That was so great. And what's beautiful. What is a dumb fuck? Damn shame what they did to that dog. What made Eddie great is the same thing that makes Dave Chappelle great in his sketches. He never winks at the camera. He never goes, I'm in on the joke. I know it's a joke. No, I am committed. 100%.
Oh, God.
Let's do this. I don't care how ridiculous it is. I'm Gumby, damn it. Yeah. Gumby and Buckwheat. It just, no, this
and
is.
And while we're on the subject of Coming to America.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall was fucking hilarious.
Oh, he was brilliant.
He is hilarious. You tend to forget about that when you see him on
The Apprentice.
Celebrity and, Apprentice and his talk shows.
Uh-huh.
Ultimate Warrior appearance notwithstanding.
Right.
Whoa. But he was a fucking genius.
Yeah, he
Coming
was.
To America.
Uh-huh.
Genius.
You diseased
Doing
Ryan
the
Master's
old
pizzle.
Man in the barbershop with a plate of food. People tend to overlook it because they're watching Eddie Murphy. But if you watch that scene enough, just watch him how he interacts with that goddamn plate of food. And tell me he didn't study that shit.
Yeah,
I study a goddamn plate of food. I'm going to hold it this way.
Yeah.
With my legs crossed just so.
Well, his preacher.
Fuck with that piece of bread.
His
I don't know.
Preacher.
Maybe I'm looking too much into it. But
his preacher. He helped Moses get out the desert. He helped Gilligan
get off the island. Mr. Randy Watson.
You might know him as the mailman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama.
God damn it. He was so fucking funny.
He was great. All of them were. And just, isn't that wonderful? It's just a wonderful night. And fucking John Amos. Just, you want to keep working here? Stay off the drugs. Like, what the? Jesus Christ. Everyone in that movie just fucking destroys it, except for the hot chick, because she was not much of an actress.
Not really, no.
But gorgeous woman. And did a fine job. And you know what? You know who picked them up at the cab driver, you dumb fuck. That's Body by Jake Steinfeld,
who was
in a show that was the closest to a gay porn that you could get on television.
Was it called
television.
The Gay Porn Hour?
It was called Big Brother Jake, and he played a ex-bodybuilder who ran a home for wayward boys.
Oh, my.
Yeah, like, whoa. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Good lord.
Oh, yeah, stretch it out.
No, I can't. I got nothing.
Oh, damn it. Oh.
Carry on.
Yeah. Fuck you. Yes. Fuck you, America. Fuck you. Oh, man. Both of those guys, great stand-ups. And the number of fucking parts that they played seamlessly. I want to tear you apart. Your friend, too.
Oh,
God.
God damn. And then again in Harlem Nights, Arsenio Hall was fucking hilarious too. I'm going to kill you, Quig. Stop with that little shit.
You know what? Arsenio, Bob Odenkirk is the king of the comedic yelling.
Oh.
Where he just, God damn it. Arsenio Hall is the Ooh, best at that kind of panicked crying.
It is so good.
Oh, man. God, brilliant. I often forget that Billy Crystal started out as a stand-up.
Yeah.
Different kind of stand-up. He had moments that were great, but it was a very different, like, performance-y based type thing.
Yeah, I watched it later on, clearly, in life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really my thing.
Yeah,
I became aware of Billy Crystal in Soap.
Yeah.
And even that was on syndication on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd seen him in bits and pieces of different things. Spinal Tap, of course. Uh-huh. But I never paid any attention to him.
See, I really got to know him when, like, the Comic Relief tapes would hit Panama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I really got to know him, because that was, you know, Robin, Billy, and Whoopi. And Whoopi, what's weird is they credit Whoopi as being a stand-up, but she wasn't a stand-up. She was a performance artist. She did one-woman shows that weren't all comedy. So I can't really call her a stand-up, because she's not terribly funny, because most of the time when she's doing that stuff, she's not aiming for laughs all the time.
Knowing that would take the surprise out of Color Purple a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, of course she can do dramatic.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker.
Evidently, when she went into audition for it, she joked with Steven Spielberg at the AFI, at one of the, you know, the Life Achievement Awards. She's like, I came in and I did my entire show for the audition. And Steven's like, yep. But that's a credit, because evidently she was good enough that he let her keep going.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, to me, there's a difference between a stand-up and somebody who's sort of that performance type thing. You know?
Well, I mean, we can say Mel Brooks.
Oh, God,
He did start in the Catskills.
Yeah, he did start at, that's right. The Borscht Belt. Kapovac, is that right? Well, like, he and Woody Allen started out doing that. Now, Woody Allen's stand-up is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never really heard Mel Brooks do it, because he then shifted into the television, the character
pretty
work
quickly.
And all that stuff very quickly, yeah. But, I mean, hell, Woody Allen even does some of his stand-up in Annie Hall, I believe. And it's really good. It's exactly what you'd expect. It's a very sharp-witted, you know, neurotic type thing. I still maintain Larry David has my favorite opening to one of his stand-up act.
What's that?
I read about a thing where he's like, he started out one of his old stand-up routine used to begin, you know, every day I wake up and I'm glad that I wasn't, that I'm not a wealthy Spanish landowner. Because I wouldn't be sure whether I'd want to use the to or the usted form with the help. If I say usted, I don't want to feel like I'm condescending to them. But with two, then I'd feel like I'm being too friendly, and they might want to, you know, start hanging out. And maybe they don't do their job so well. It's the fucking ultimate
it's
Larry
the
David.
Same thing. And my favorite. I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah. Saucy.
He was evidently, when he wrote for Saturday Night Live, it was during the Ebersol years, and Ebersol hated him.
Yes,
everyone else fucking loved him. They were like, he's a fucking genius. And Ebersol didn't like him because he didn't like his work ethic. Like, Larry, it would be Wednesday night, and Larry would be leaving at 5 p.m. And Ebersol's like, well, no, we stay all night on Wednesdays. He's like, yeah, but I turned in four sketches earlier today. But yeah, but we stay all night. He's like, but I... Gee, the part I said with the turning of...
All my work is done.
Yeah, I'm done, so I can... I'm leaving. And there was only one sketch that he got on the show. And it was a contractor with an architect at the building site. And they're going over the plans. He's like, what's that? Oh, that's the elevator. What's that in the elevator? Oh, that's a stool for the elevator operator to sit down on. What if I don't want him sitting? He should be standing up and alert. It's like, what? He can't sit?
He can't sit.
And guess what?
Seinfeld.
Every sketch that was rejected became an episode of Seinfeld.
It is the ultimate revenge.
Yeah,
it is the
really
ultimate
is.
Show business revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while
success.
I'm having this revenge and a wild success, I'm going to take Jerry Seinfeld with me.
Yeah.
Jerry hadn't done anything really. B-movie.
Yeah.
Comedian documentary was very good.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't need to.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Before that, it was... Yeah, I mean, he was... I still remember when I'd come home from school and watch Jon Stewart and Patty Rosenberg host Short Attention Span Theater on the Comedy Channel.
Yep.
And it was just a bunch of short comedy things and, you know, a lot of Jerry Seinfeld doing blah, like, and loving him and all. But it's him in a fucking strip mall in front of a fake brick backdrop.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then, boom. Fucking great.
First time I became aware of observational comedy as a form.
Right. Right.
Because I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have observed that as well.
That is a brilliant point.
Good point.
But then it's he is one of those people that took it into a different direction, kind of like how Louis C.K. has taken it into a different direction. His most recent one, God, I saw a couple on a date, and always amazes me. The women go out with men they don't know. It's like... ladies, do you know the number one cause, historically, the number one killer of women is men. Men, heart disease. every time a woman's out on a date, she's got to be like, oh, he seems nice. I hope he doesn't do what he's going to do. Like, yeah. Yeah. Statistically speaking, it's not good. His show is fucking amazing. His stand-up, and evidently Blue Iris, the new...
Blue Jasmine,
the new Woody Iris Allen movie.
Fucking Howard Stern.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, it is. Yeah, shit.
It's okay. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Blue Iris in my head.
But apparently him...
I'm sorry.
Apparently he and Dice Clay fucking destroy in that movie. They are so good.
That's awesome.
Andrew Dice Clay is evidently amazing in it. So that and he's a guy who you know how good an actor he is? When he's on stage, he's in character.
Yeah, that's how good he is.
It's not what he's like in real life.
Fuck what anybody thinks. Ford Fairlane is fantastic.
Ford Fairlane is great. It's so 80s. It might as well be wearing parachute pants.
Totally slipped my mind. I should have a goddamn page just Ford Fairlane.
Yeah, and you know what? I saw it like a year ago for the first time. I'd never seen it all the way through.
Wow.
Yeah, just
that was a staple of my high school watching.
Right.
Oh man.
Yeah. Woo. I dug it, and it's so 80s. Just everyone smokes so much that the room is just a fucking fog machine.
Pretty
exploded
much.
And
yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, Dice has it together. It's weird the number of people who've been doing this, who's been acting so long that you forget, oh, yeah, Tim Allen used to be a stand-up comedian.
Yes, indeed.
And I still remember seeing him hit the first, so I rewired it. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. But then, you know, Home Improvement hit, and that catapulted him in a different area. And I've maintained since it began, I have one thing that I think would have made that show better. Daughters instead of sons.
Yeah. Maybe.
So he goes home and he's just this fucking man apart and start the season with the youngest daughter, who was the tomboy, starting to get interested in boys and becoming girlier, so that it's this, he's totally rudderless.
But Tim wanted to get that big, fat family dollar.
Oh, God, yes.
And he has over and over and over again.
Yep.
And not everything he's done has been my cup of tea.
No.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Because his tea is all green, baby.
It is, exactly.
Because he drinks healthy tea.
Yep. Made out of money.
Made out of money. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
He eats money pie.
Lots and lots of money pies.
Yep.
My God.
Yeah.
And then, after he made a lot of money pies, like, yeah, I'll do more Toy Stories.
Yeah.
It's fine.
What the fuck? Why not?
I can do that.
Yeah, there's money in that? Sure.
No problem.
Santa Claus? Okay, whatever.
My voice in every, paid every time they do the little ride. And
every child in America will grow up knowing and loving you without even knowing what you look like. Tom Hanks,
Bam.
They know what he looks like.
And
because,
you were Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tim Allen.
Yeah. They know what Tom Hanks looks like because Woody looks like Tom Hanks. Actually, Woody looks like Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, close enough. You know, fucking Jim Carrey. I still remember when he started doing he stopped doing his impressions and started doing his weird stand-up. And there's some show that he did, like, in some weird basement theater in New York that starts out with the Jim dancers. It's like, he's Jim, put your hands together and welcome him. And it's like a woman dressed in a giant J, an I, and an M. And then the J lady turns around and it's an H when she gets to the welcome him. And he's just being fucking weird. Boiling acid.
Even though it wasn't his line.
I know.
But I erased Joygasm. I couldn't have that on my board. It's that obnoxious.
I understand. Which one was Joygasm?
From that Batman picture where Val Kilmer was Batman.
What? No, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. He blows up the Batcave and blows up the Batmobile and turns around and says, Joygasm!
Yeah.
I had
that. He's someone who exploded real quick, too, because I remember seeing... you and I saw Ace Ventura at the River Center Mall in San Antonio.
Laughed ourselves sick.
I literally laughed ourselves borderline unconscious.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 years later he was in the Batman movie.
Pretty much.
And I guess, and what's funny is I remember hearing at the time someone with the studio got their ass fired because they wanted to lock him into a two-picture deal, but he wanted more money to do Dumb and Dumber. And somebody's like, look, this Ace Ventura thing's going to bomb. Just let him do that. We'll lowball him for half the price on the next one. And it did not bomb.
Whoops.
Oh, man. But yeah, he's one who is just fine. Like, he and Sandler hit it about the same time with their movies. Because, Dumb and Dumber and Billy Madison both came out at the same year. So Carrie had already taken off some, but...
When people, maybe, out there would consider, well, Sandler's time is over. Yeah. He probably isn't doing much of anything except a couple of little pictures now and then. I don't know how many people out there listen to The Church of What's Happening Now with Joey Coco Diaz.
Oh, I need to.
I love it. Yeah. I love Joey Diaz. But he'll tell these interesting little stories, and one of them is about Adam Sandler, and he would only shoot in Hawaii. And when he was going to do The Longest Yard, he said, well, we'll shoot in Hawaii, and we'll just CG out the palm trees. And the studio was considering it. They finally said, no, we have to do it over here.
Right.
But that's how much stroke he had.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently he only shoots in Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Well, because you can.
Because he fucking can.
Well, it was like Jerry Seinfeld bought this massive house and had the whole thing torn down and rebuilt and had like a baseball field. And somebody's like, why did you do that, Jerry? He goes, because I could.
Yeah.
Because I fucking could, man.
And David Copperfield has a drive-in movie theater on his own island.
Yeah.
Called Dave's Drive-In. Had a sign made on his own island.
Yeah. Yep. Because when you got that kind of money.
Because you can.
Because you can, yeah. 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 When he, like, Copperfield is a cat who's selling out two shows a night every night of the year.
Jesus Christ.
Like, he's somebody who at one point, I think I read somewhere, he did 500 sold-out shows a year.
Yeah.
That's goddamn retarded.
That's retarded.
That's stupid. No. Now we're back, sir.
Now we're back. Check it out.
Cantor, cantor, a real toro pecho, echar ese grito, que lindo es el disco.
I don't have to shoehorn it in. I just drop it anywhere.
Exactly. Like it's hot, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird the number of stand-ups that went Sandler, Jim Carrey. In the past couple of years, you know, Sandler and Jim Carrey hitting as massive as they did.
Oh, yeah.
In such a mind-bogglingly small window.
Yeah.
I mean, they both went from these guys who do stand-up. Cool. Sounds good. All right. Cool. Sorry. Just got a text from somebody I was going to try and meet up with, but we're just going to have to push it. But they went from like seriously by Happy Gilmore, Sandler was in another level.
Oh yeah.
By Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey was at another level.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is I remember seeing Jim Carrey in, you know, stuff like Once Bitten.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, when he was, you know, it picked him out in Peggy Sue Got Married, and mm-hmm. that, you know. And he was one where everything just happened to line up perfectly.
I always get Once Bitten confused with My Best Friend's a Vampire.
Yeah, I've never seen My Best Friend's a Vampire.
I believe that's the one with Cleavon Little.
Ah, well, All right. But there aren't any, like, well, Chris Rock hit big, but more as a stand-up because he never, I don't think he ever wanted to switch over to movies, even though he directs some stuff.
Yeah.
I think he realized movies are fun. But I am a stand-up.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything like some of these other guys that really took him to another level.
Yeah.
Movie-wise.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They've done well. He's made a shit ton of money for people that have employed him in whatever capacity.
Exactly, exactly.
But none of it was just, you know, massive movie
time. Yeah, screaming money.
Just yeah.
What? Yeah, and that's
but
true.
But his stand-up.
Oh, his...
Holy shit.
There are those people where you are able to, I think, definitively say, like, right now... I think Louis C.K. is the best stand-up on the planet right now.
Yeah.
At that time, Chris Rock was the best stand-up on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being at my friend Chris Keebler's place, hanging out, and we just turned on, and we stopped. We're flipping through channels, and we stopped because we were like, why is Chris Rock standing in front of a Colorado Rockies logo? And it was Bring the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we just watched. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if there is a better hour of stand-up out there than that routine. It's so fucking good.
Shined up like a diamond.
Yeah. It is perfect.
I mean, a lot of like Louis C.K.'s "Oh My God" is fantastic. I mean, but that one, I just look at like, shit, you were that is a thing. By the end of it, you're like, you are different level now.
And I hope that Blue Jasmine does more for Louis C.K.'s career.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
His stand up is fucking amazing.
Yep. His show is great.
But I mean, I know right now he's got all that fire that never going to go out in a new hour every year.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand that, but apparently that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like what I tell people. I'm like, well, it's just an hour. Cool. Come up with five minutes. Come up with three minutes. Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny material beginning to end.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck you if you think you can do that.
Uh-huh.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Louis is a machine. And what's funny is where it came from. George Carlin died, and he was like at his funeral, and he's like, yeah, you know, I remember when I heard that George Carlin came out with a new hour every year. And I was like, well, okay, so apparently that's what you do. That's what you do if you're a comedian.
Wow.
And it took him a while to find it. But when he did.
But he found
it. Oh, damn. Yeah.
George Carlin's another one. Yep. I mean, movie-wise,
not
Bill
much.
And Ted.
Yeah.
Dogma, uh-huh. Hilarious.
Oh, he was great.
Jersey Girl.
Yeah? Yeah, he was very good in Jersey Girl.
Very good in that. Underrated movie, actually.
Yeah, very underrated.
For the easy jokes, insert now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's fucking underrated.
It really is. It really is.
But, yeah, George Carlin didn't have much of a movie career as such compared to some of the people on this list.
Uh-huh.
Not Tim Allen or Adam Sandler. But, fuck. Aside from some of that really late Carlin stuff where he was basically just cussing at you for being you.
Yeah.
His stand-up that I grew up with every year at Carnegie Hall or whatever.
Yep.
Or it seemed like that. It may not have been.
Jamming in New York.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And you knew this year we're going to get some more fucking George Carlin.
Yeah.
It's great. Just brilliant stuff. Yeah. He played with language. He did all... Fantastic. It was weird. I was in Amsterdam when he died.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Couldn't even be here, man.
Yeah, man.
Man. You know, I can't forget this guy's a stand-up because I still remember the day I bought No Cure for Cancer.
Mm.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who criticize him for ripping off, what's his name?
Hicks.
I've said it before. Hicks, and I'm a Texan saying this about the god of Texas comedy, Bill Hicks. I have always thought Bill Hicks was all right.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Bill Hicks was very, very good. What pisses me off about that fucking cancer, you wily bitch, you.
Yeah.
You cunty ass disease.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is that what he would have done?
Mm-hmm.
After that.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have been amazing.
Yeah, I think you're
amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he was already fucking good, but he was going through that, you know, angry young man thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody did the commercials to sell out and da-da. Not that he would have been doing Doritos commercials later on. That's not my point. Point being that his kind of mind for comedy would have been fantastic later on.
Yeah.
I loved all his stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But at a certain point, maybe it's just a saturation level living in Austin and Texas and all that. Where I love Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks can't be fucked with.
Right.
But there are other comics out there.
And that's where I come from.
And you don't have to model yourself after Bill Hicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's a hell of a thing to say because when I was younger, and I even played with the idea of being a stand-up, it felt like a cage.
Yeah.
I can't do this because... Uh-huh. It's not Bill Hicks.
Yeah,
you can, because you're not going to be Bill Hicks.
Yeah, just don't be Bill
Nobody
Hicks.
Nobody is.
See, the only reason that I'm with Bill Hicks is living in Austin. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, cool. Never mind. I've got my shit together. But with Hicks, I get so tired of, he's the greatest stand-up comedian ever. No, he's not.
He would tell you that, yeah.
Yeah, it strikes me as... disingenuous. It's the rappers who all love Scarface.
I think it has more to do with, and it's just a theory, like the oversaturation of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, we know Led Zeppelin. When first we heard it was amazing, and it mm-hmm. took over your life and yeah. whatever. And then you grew past it. Well, uh-huh. It's like shark's teeth.
Yeah.
These goddamn humans, they just keep coming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the other generation goes, have you heard Led Zeppelin? That's the best thing ever. Like, well, I'm listening to this now. Fuck yeah. that dude, Zeppelin.
Like, okay, but yeah.
It's a conveyor belt.
Exactly.
And they just
yeah.
happen to be there. Not uh-huh. that it's a lower level to be there. Yeah, it's just a different what you place. Listen to yeah. at that age.
Exactly.
If you're into comedy records like we were.
Yeah.
There was a certain age when that Bill Hicks hit.
Yeah.
You got Rant in E minor.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, oh, this is funny to listen to.
Yeah.
He was talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Directly.
Uh-huh.
Then
uh-huh.
the way that I think I know you yeah. wasn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
And that.
It's a big
that,
goddamn deal. But I got past it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for, where do I fit into yeah. something funny?
And the thing is with that, like, I've never seen Dennis Leary as straight ripping it up. I've seen it as he took a similar persona, but it's
angry
not
at everybody
the same.
Telling you what to do and what yeah. to say and what not to eat and what
right.
to smoke or not
uh-huh.
is not something new.
Yeah, you don't own the patent
yeah,
on that.
Piss it off. What's the word? Curmudgeon.
Yeah. Angry white guy.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't have that. And
his
all of his stuff, especially No Cure for Cancer, had a very different feel of it.
Uh-huh.
It was very just angry Boston, even yeah. though he's from New York, right?
No, I think he is from Boston. He is Boston, yeah. Yeah.
It felt more like that, like an angry guy at a bar.
Yeah.
And I thought that was probably what he was going for.
Yeah. And
his whole thing about Budweiser and cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's just great. This beer is great. Best thing ever. Love it. Oh, God, it's so great. But it ain't shit without this. And he holds up the cigarette. It ain't shit without this.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hicks wasn't saying that.
Yeah. And Leary crafted moments beautifully. Like, I remember we talked about, like, his son being born premature.
Mm.
And he was, like, you know, dangerously premature. And I went there, and he was in an incubator. He was this tiny. He goes through all of this, like, thing. And, you know, it's this heart-rending thing of being at the hospital. And then the doctors came in, and they're like, your son's going to be okay. And I'm like, well, yeah. It's because my sperm is so strong. It's like I can't stop being a shithead.
Right. And that's a different, a whole different vibe than, well, I don't know what Bill Hicks' signature thing would be. But for me, his biggest thing was quoting Terrence McKenna and the heroic dose of all that shit about evolving.
Yeah.
We need to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing, I'm not gonna do it injustice by trying to remember it all.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah,
but that was the thing that hooked me in to Bill Hicks. Like, this guy's on a different level,
right? And it's a level that I get.
That I get, and it's not. No one's ever gonna do shit like this.
Yeah,
Rogan comes close because he has that same psychedelic thing, but it's not the same.
It's not the same
not
thing.
Same
yeah.
flavor at all.
No, not the slightest.
It's not. I never saw that. When I heard that criticism later of Leary.
Uh huh.
I don't know one way or the other, but it didn't ring true to me.
No, it didn't. Yeah.
It surprised me. Frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Speaking of angry Boston, Bill fucking Burr.
Oh, God. Bill Burr is so goddamn funny.
On his Monday morning podcast, he talked about driving through Texas and going to see, driving from El Paso to San Antonio. He's like, everyone's like, it's a boring drive. And I think that means that there's not the same Starbucks on every corner. It's like, no, you're not from an area that has a lot of land and shit like that. The drive between El Paso and San Antonio is fucking awful.
I believe the term is vast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as Houston to San Antonio, because that is nothing. At least going the other direction, you might see a hill.
Look, pick a fucking point in the universe.
Yeah.
If it's going to El Paso.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's awful.
Yeah.
That's some true. Fucking... Nothingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Houston to San Antonio, it's a long haul.
Right.
But there's shit everywhere because you're on I-10.
Yeah. Yeah. But like
El Paso, you have to go through Junction and all those weird hills.
Yeah. And it's funny is when you grow up like us, knowing this, having this vast shit and like looking out your window, oh, there's the Texas Hill Country. It's amazing. Driving to El Paso, it's like, oh my God, this is a fucking mud pit. God damn
Where
it.
Where are we?
When did the bombs drop?
Yeah.
When is fucking tomorrow Morrowland? Jesus
Christ.
Get out
of my head.
Just give us your gasoline.
The little feral kid threw a boomerang at my car.
It happens.
It's
spooky. That's how it works.
It's spooky out
there. I mean, it's fucking terrible, but Burr, like, then talks about going to the A&M game, which last week was apparently the fucking balls. Just amazing game.
I did watch it.
It was like, you know, 8 touchdowns in the whole game. Just a slugfest. And It was cool, but he is popping up as an actor. The thing I love from it is, just like, if there is a better show than Breaking Bad, even if it's not, like, because he's like, anyone who's international, if there's a better show than Breaking Bad, even if it's not subtitled, I will sit down and watch that thing. If someone tells me there's a show that's better than Breaking Bad, I will watch it from beginning to end. Like, shit, that's fucking awful. Yeah. There isn't. I'm Bill sorry. Burr. Yeah,
I didn't discover him till later on.
He's so good.
He is so fucking funny. I was even fucking around with this whole bit, my own, of, well, I'm an idiot. And I was going to build from, I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then that motherfucker on Rogan had this whole thing about it.
Yeah.
Like, ah, shit. It's like, I felt like a comic book artist when they found out about Alan Moore.
Yeah.
You just go back home and throw everything away.
Screw it all. We're done.
No.
Well, have you heard him in Philadelphia being heckled? There was apparently like some comedy show that was done, and it was this really Philly audience that was just being assholes. And he goes out on stage. He's like, I got 10 fucking minutes. Here's everything I fucking hate about your city, and starts ripping Philadelphia apart. He's like, 9 minutes. And this fucking day, yeah. 8 fucking minutes. Fuck you. And just by the end of it, they are cheering for him because he goes off for however much time he has, and he's counting it down the whole time. Just fuck
that's amazing.
He handles hecklers.
That's an X-Men power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Him and Rogan handle hecklers better than anyone except maybe Patton Oswalt.
Oh, dear.
Did you ever hear the one where he's like, you're still fucking talking? Yes. Oh, I'm going to spend your money on whiskey and a steak. I'm like, you're going to be out. Your money's still going to be here. I'm not going to give that back to you, but you're going to be the fuck out of here. He can do 5 minutes on anything.
Yeah.
Just go. Holy shit. When he talks about time travel.
Oh.
Have you ever heard his time travel
bit? Yes.
I do this and I would kill George Lucas with a shovel in 1998. Yes.
Oh, God.
Perfect.
He's come in a couple of times, but I've only actually ever heard one. On Nerd Poker, the Earwolf podcast with Brian Posehn and friends.
And friends.
He apparently played D&D with those guys a long time ago and had songs that he would just make up on the fly about certain characters. And he showed up again in one podcast and just had this whole song about, I can't remember, Jerry's character or something.
Not Blackie Green?
Blackie Green.
Know what I'm saying?
Because I do. great shit. Great stuff.
Buddy, yeah.
But the stuff he could come up with just, I wrote this last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking amazing. Well, he's amazing.
He does a bit about when he made the decision to be a comedian, like to do what he was going to do. It was like some shitty place where it was like under the staircase in this hotel somewhere. And he was just dying and the audience wasn't paying attention. And he's like, this older black guy stands up. He's like, look, I'm leaving, but I just want to let you know, I don't think you should be doing this. And he's like, the guy, you're not committing. And he's like, I threw my notebooks away and I started from scratch because I realized he was right.
Right.
And now he's starting to do more dramatic stuff. He was one of the best parts. Well, he was the only good part of Young Adult.
Right.
Is that movie I just couldn't
fucking
stand.
Have you seen Big Fan?
Yes.
I haven't seen that.
Really good. Really, really good. And, oh, it's so sad because it begins with him like rehearsing his phone call to a Jim Rome type show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like straight up rehearsing it. You're like, aww. Goddamn.
Like Bobo.
And he and a friend like drive to tailgate outside of at Giants games.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have tickets. They just go to hang out. Ugh. Like, oh. Speaking of, I went to hang out with some friends before the UT game and they gave me a ticket to the game and I left at the half. You know how much it would cost for you and I to get like crappy seats to tomorrow's game? For both of us, $10. There are people selling tickets for $10 a pair on the internet.
Dear.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
$10. $10.
Oh, my.
$5 each. It costs more to go to a dollar movie.
So, let's digress because we do that.
We do that,
What are we talking? 2 years, Max? Got to be two, right? I know Matt can recruit like a son of a bitch, but
here's
2 years?
If the athletic director quits or retires, they're going to move Mac to athletic director and replace him. There are apparently somebody somebody with UT reached out to Saban's people.
I heard about this.
Basically, depending on how this season goes, if this season goes the way I think it will, Mac's gone. Because we, right now, I've calculated it, we will not go to a bowl game.
Oh,
we've lost two games already.
Right.
We are not going to beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Texas Tech, or TCU.
We're not
going to
beat Baylor?
Baylor's good.
Oh.
Yeah. Even pull Baylor out of that.
We.
That's six losses. There. That's six losses. We're also probably not going to beat Kansas State.
Right.
So that is seven losses. You're out of the bowl. We've been embarrassed by teams. So, yeah, it's fucking done. He's done. And he's shifted blame enough, and there are too many big money people who are just done.
Oh, well.
I will, like, you notice I'm not wearing a UT shirt today. It's a Friday. I'm not wearing a UT shirt. I might watch the game tomorrow. Might Maybe. Not.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. I'm tired of being, I support the team, but I won't support the man anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He said the same thing about Oakland. And it was, well, when Al Davis dies, things will turn around.
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Yep.
And I remain not watching Oakland football.
And here's the
thing. Maybe a bad fan? I don't know. Don't care either.
People are like, oh, yeah, who's UT going to get to replace Mac Brown? We pay $5 million a year. We'll get anyone we want.
Yeah. Within 3 years, that'll be up to around 7.5.
Yeah. The problem is, you know how long Mac Brown's contract is right now?
No.
10 fucking years.
Oh. That would explain the athletic director position.
Exactly. And the thing is, that's in case people don't buy him out. He is nearing a point where if he don't make a bowl, I don't think it's going to be an option for him to stay on and retire with dignity. I think, fuck you, old man. You fat bitch. I don't know why I said that, but
I don't either,
there it
but
is.
Here we are.
Yeah. Deal with it, sir.
Yeah.
And
I guess we'll have to.
You know what
Barbaric!
You know what stand-up I really love? And I'm okay with him as an actor, is Eddie Izzard.
I adore his stand-up.
When he's rehearsed and ready, God damn, he's
amazing.
Good. Yeah.
Amazing.
Have you seen his bit from Wembley?
No.
God, he talks about the death, being in line in the cafeteria on the Death Star. Because he's like, there has to be a cafeteria. There has to be.
He's brilliant.
Fucking great. He's so good.
And I've seen him in a handful of things. I never watched The Riches, but I hear it was good.
That was great.
Oceans 12 and 13.
Yeah, it was all right.
Just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch The Mockingbird Lane, where he was Grandpa.
Yeah.
It was a Munsters remake.
Uh-huh. No. Not
his fault.
Not so much, yeah.
Not his fault. But I like Eddie.
Yeah, he's great. He is fantastic. A quick aside, speaking of stand-ups, Sinbad. Don't hate him, because I know he's just not aiming for me. He's a family-friendly comedian. He's apparently coming to Austin, and the ad that they're doing for it is like Sinbad and like some character that Sinbad does. I don't know. And from the nearest I can gather, the character is Sinbad wearing a hat.
I see. Poppy Chulo hat?
Like
Angel from Dexter?
No, more like a Shaq fedora.
Mm.
Yeah, no. He wouldn't dare a Poppy Chulo, but yeah. Well. Although I will say, Sinbad, decent in a couple of movies. I liked him in Necessary Roughness.
Yeah.
He had one bit from his stand-up that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard, when he talked about the worst whooping he ever got was from his mom. So my dad was out of town for something, and my mom said something. He's like, oh, yeah, your dad wants you to do this. And I looked over my shoulder, yeah, but he ain't here, is he? I heard a sound come out of my mother. Lord Jesus Christ, help me not to kill this child. Like, oh my God. But he had distortion on the mic and everything. So it just, like, I tried to run. She turned 20 feet tall, had a giant W on her chest for whooping. Smacked me so hard, my butt fell off. Yeah. I grabbed it, and these birds are like, drop your butt and run. Like, it's fucking great.
Right.
But yes, Sinbad's good. As is Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. About old Kevin.
Yeah. His stand-up is so good. His stand-up is so good. Yeah, so good times there.
I haven't listened to that.
He's very good. There's a bunch of them on Netflix. Mm-hmm. There's one where he's like back home in I think Baltimore, wherever he's from. And it's,
right.
It's the one where he starts out with, all right, all right, all right. It's fucking great because he goes back to this whole thing about being with people who want him to spend more. Like, don't hang out with NBA players. Like, I hung out with Dwayne Wade and he was trying to talk me into buying a boat.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, you see, I got a checking account and I got a savings account. And the way that works... He just keeps going back to that. And it's so great because it's just this desperate look on his face. No, you see. Oh, man. Really good shit.
Oh, my God. We have gone this far without talking about.
Hey, everybody. We're all going to get laid.
Oh, God, Rodney. I'll tell you.
Oh, the Saint Dangerfield.
Never acted. Just kind of went out there as himself. He apparently didn't quit his day job when he started doing stand-up, and he was a door-to-door salesman and was selling somebody, and as he's selling him, he came up on the television.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
He was one of those guys that if he was in a movie, you know it was going to be fun. It might not be good.
By whatever standard that is measured. But, yeah. I love him.
And another thing, Vonnegut, I'm going to stop payment on a check. What's that? Fuck me. Hey, Kurt, you read lips. Fuck you.
Screw you, Vonnegut.
He didn't say that.
No, I know.
I made it up.
It's the best, though. He should have.
He should have.
Oh, man. He was just that persona. It was so perfect. I still remember making the statement to somebody that I worked with once where I was like, "That the worst sandwich in movie history is in the Boondock Saints." You pointed that out to me. I didn't even notice it, but...
It's a terrible sandwich.
Yeah, worst sandwich. And
the best sandwich.
And my friends, what's the best sandwich? And without even going back to school.
And it's made better because he hauls out the bread because he knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And the little meatballs and the little whatever. And he has a beer in his pocket.
Yep. Puts the beer right in his pocket and walks off and then tells...
I finished my sandwich.
Adrian Barbeau to fuck...
It's fucking great.
Yeah, it really is.
That movie
is
awesome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you don't like it out there, but if you do, get fucked. Because it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Goddamn, Dangerfield was so great. Yeah, you know who else apparently used to do stand-up on occasion? Dr. William Cosby.
Well.
Yeah.
A bit. I just watched about a quarter of The Devil and Max Devlin the other day.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since I was...
Same.
Eight?
Yeah. Same here. Yep.
Weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. But damn, his stand-up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bill Cosby himself.
That was great, because I could then watch stand-up with my parents.
Yeah.
That wasn't Red Skelton.
Uh-huh. Okay. You said something, not to take a drink. Well, I don't know.
The whole chocolate cake bit.
It's got
Never
milk.
Seen a woman have a conniption? Her skull split. Oh, my God.
Daddy, great. We wanted
chocolate cake.
We wanted eggs, and he made us. And my children
turned
on me.
Eggs. Eggs are in chocolate cake.
Milk.
Milk and wheat. Oh my God! It was so. So good.
We have five children because we did not want to have six.
Yeah. You get to laugh a little bit louder when you're that age because your parents are laughing along with
you.
Like, oh, I'm allowed to. Excellent.
I don't understand what he's talking about, but it's wonderful.
The dentist. I've been to the dentist. Yes. Yes.
And just him talking about the you know, thanks mom with the football player that fucking Mencia took. You ripped off Bill Cosby, motherfucker. Are you out of your mind?
Chances are people have seen it, man.
Yeah, it's from Bill Cosby himself, for God's sake.
Oh.
His stuff, that Bill Cosby is a very funny fellow indeed.
Yeah.
Classic. God damn, he's good.
Apparently, he's back out. He has another show he's doing.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, Chris Rock.
Apparently, it's amazing.
Chris Rock was on Jerry Seinfeld Comedian, and they were talking about it. He's like, yeah, I saw Bill Cosby do like 3 hours of stand-up at this place the other night.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. And Chris was like, stuff I'd never seen before. And he killed. It's like, yeah, because he knows what
Bill Cosby.
He's doing. He's fucking Bill Cosby, man. The guy knows his shit. And what I love is that my favorite political statement ever is he was on some show and they asked him, he's very liberal and all that. Somebody asked him about, you know, Donald Trump said this. So what do you think about that? He's like, I don't care. I don't care. Why should I care?
Yeah,
what? I don't care. I'm sorry. Like, very nice.
So true.
Again, Roseanne, her stand up. was really good.
It was really good. People tend to forget about that.
Uh-huh.
She was really good.
She popped up on a Saturday Night Live once on a game show called Comedy Killers. Mm-hmm. And it was three comedians that were talking about, like, it was which is the worst comedy killer? Mm-hmm. What would kill a routine? And they were going through and introducing themselves, and there were all these comedians like, yeah, I made some jokes about this. It's like, how about you? You know, at the end, and she's like, well, I'm regionally pretty well known, and I got invited to come out and sing the national anthem at this baseball game, and I sang it all off pitch, and then I grabbed my crotch and I spit. It's like, did it go over? No, not at all. And it's funny because she went from like smiling to just dead. No, not at the slightest. That happened. I think while I remember my mom telling me about it driving back from camp. It happened during camp,
yeah.
The year we met, I believe.
So, I remember my parents bringing it up, saying, yeah. Oh, how, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember saying, what difference does it make?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, here we go.
Oh, my.
here we go.
This isn't going to work.
This doesn't
son.
Work. You disagree with us on
yes. this. This is not good, Charles.
Yes.
And I can't mention Roseanne without mentioning Tom Arnold. Because he did do stand-up that was funny, yep. And he had some specials on Showtime. The best use of Frank Zappa in anything. It was he was doing a thing where he's talking about the meaning of life and stuff, mm-hmm. And he's driving, and he's got these kids in the car, and they're yelling, and he's trying to get them to be quiet, but they won't be quiet. He goes, okay, I've had enough! And they cut, and it's a bunch of midgets in Little League outfits. They're driving, and they're all like listening to what he's saying. Oh, yeah, great. He stops, and they get out of the car, and he looks at me, oh, Frank Zappa. And Frank walks up. He doesn't even look at him. He goes, midgets, Tom. Tom goes, they're little people. And he goes, I don't know why this shit surprises me anymore. And walks off. I'm like, best use of Frank Zappa ever. Ever. But yeah, that, he was good. And I still maintain he should have been an Oscar nominee for Gardens of is it Gardens of Midnight or Gardens of the Night?
I have no idea.
He should have. It's a very disturbing movie.
Mm-hmm.
It follows a child who is kidnapped.
Oh,
and
great.
The child sex trade and all that. And he is the guy who kidnaps, but is sort of the good guy who, but is still molesting. And he was like, I saw on a message board, people were back and forth with him. He was like, I played that character so well because I knew him. His name was Gary. He lived across the street from me. He was the nice and this and I'll be you're a scared kid who doesn't, no one likes you. And well, come on. Fucking fantastic in it. A very jarring film though. Very jarring film. But Tom Arnold nailed it.
Billy Connolly.
Yeah. And what's weird is his early stand-up, I don't know if I get because I'm not Scottish. And it was so very like...
Oh, man.
Like, if you ain't from Scotland, you're having to do a little bit of work to get a lot of his early humor.
You're laughing because everyone else is laughing. Yeah. But it does take some thirsty work involved.
But a lot of it, when he starts doing the thick dialect, you're like, I have no idea what he is saying right now. I don't know what he's making noises.
The top of the wave came up and kissed the bottom of my scrotum. Talking about going in the cold-ass ocean for the first time.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You know, we love our songs.
Such a thick...
10 children died in their beds. They're all dead. More! 300 children! They're such depressing songs.
Here's a question. I've never been a big Tracy Ullman fan. I don't dislike her, but it's always been one where I'm like, she commits, but I don't see enough big difference in the characters that she does to really like it, you know? Right. But she's always one that people throw out like she's just this big shitting deal of stand-up performance art stuff. And I'm like, I don't know.
I haven't seen enough of her to tell you one way or the other.
She's one I tried, but just never connected for me. Jamie Foxx was a stand-up.
Yes, he was.
Now he's got an Oscar.
Yep.
For lip-syncing.
Apparently there's nothing he can't do.
So, he lip-synced. That's all I'm saying.
Whatever.
Whatever.
It's fine with me.
Galifianakis.
He has some really funny shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost a crime that he's known so well for The Hangover.
Yeah.
Because his stand-up is fucking funny.
Have you ever seen him deal with a heckler?
No.
He called this woman up on stage. He's like, this woman is talking. He's like, what's your name? Nancy. Oh, that's my middle name. Hey, come up on stage. And literally brought her on stage and just like very calmly, very quietly fucking broke her. It was incredible. Oh my Bless God, you, it was shocking.
He's still the funniest thing about The Hangover.
Oh God, yes.
Any of those films.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The Lone Wolf Pack. My wolf pack had two. God damn. Ellen DeGeneres. I goddamn love her stand-up.
Great stuff.
She can tangent like nobody's business.
Yeah.
But make it seem like, oh yeah, totally meant to do this. Her brother was apparently, he was on The Daily Show for a while, Vance DeGeneres, mm-hmm. was in Cowboy Mouth.
Really?
He was a musician. Yeah, he was in Cowboy Mouth for a while.
Wow.
That's weird. They do put on a good show. Yeah. I will credit them that.
I'm not sure if Steve Coogan was a stand-up, was he? Or did he...
I think he was always a character guy.
That's too bad.
God damn.
Oh, well, I'll play it anyway.
Yeah.
Where are you? Where are you? Where is that goddamn thing?
Do it.
I have no idea.
His Alan Partridge. Apparently there's an Alan Partridge movie that I got to see.
I really love 24-Hour Party People. Uh-huh. It's my favorite thing he has ever done.
That is great.
It's fantastic.
I'll tell you too much. Don't want to spoil the film, but I'll just say Icarus, okay? If you know what I mean, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter. But you should probably read more.
You should probably read more.
That movie's awesome.
Anyway. Is good. So, Russell Brand, he kind of does one thing. I like his stand-up. I think he's got some clever shit happening.
He read the Riot Act to some assholes on MSNBC.
Fucking glorious.
And that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Russell, let's never fight again.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way he handled it, he was like, I'm here.
This is it.
Yeah.
You're the people reporting the news. Yeah. This is it.
You're saying him, and I'm sitting right here. Why don't we talk about it? And I can't understand what he's saying. Again, I'm sitting right here. It's so rude to do that to someone who's in the room. And of course, here comes the boom.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Hymas.
Yeah, absolutely.
God damn. And let's see. I also have Kevin Pollak. I forgot that he was a stand-up once upon.
Quite the stand-up.
He used to... God, he does a brilliant Alan Arkin impression, which was really funny when he talked about calling Alan... When they were in a movie together, and he'd call Alan Arkin's voice. And be like, oh, message for myself. Do this, do this. And the next day, Alan's like, you've really got to stop doing that.
He's very good.
Fucking great, yeah. That's pretty much all I've got written down.
Yeah, same here.
Yes. There are some great... God damn, I love good stand-up. I really fucking love good stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
I even like moderate stand-up. I don't like the bad stuff, but moderate, I can get behind.
There's plenty of stand-up out there that's not my cup of tea, but they can all do it.
Exactly.
That's impressive to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I am looking. So, good times. Does that sum it up for us?
I believe it does. Normally, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to go into the parade of all our bullshit. If you want t-shirts from T-Fury or anything from Amazon or anything from Onnit, go through our website. Go to the Film Thugs and click on those links and buy some shit. Some people bought some Amazon stuff this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, we've got occasional articles that get posted there. You can get the episodes there or on iTunes. If you get us on iTunes, rate and review it. It helps. Yes, and we haven't gotten one in a while, you motherfuckers. You can call us at 512-666-RANT. Leave a message and we'll play it on a show like we did a couple weeks ago. And it's hilarious, and it's awesome, and it's fun, and you'll understand. Leave a message about a terrible movie experience or a question about anything. Really. Speaking of questions, you can email questions or show ideas to thefilmthugs@gmail.com. We also do shows where we don't hear the questions before we record, and those are thugquestions@gmail.com. Facebook, Twitter, Vine, all of that.
We're all over the place.
And I think that, does that cover all the plugs? Oh, the_film_thugs on Skype.
Normally, I like to end with Kurt Russell as a rule. But
yes.
I don't like rules.
Yeah.
Even my own.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.